to us this afternoon. That was security analyst Declan Power. Now, let's move on. An aide to the Kremlin has claimed that NATO and the West were directly involved in the planning of Ukraine's attack on Russia's Kursk region. The White House insists Kyiv didn't give it any advance notice of the incursion. Ukraine is continuing to press forward in Kursk, but at a slower pace. Journalist Emmanuel Shays is in Kyiv. Emmanuel, this operation began in secrecy. So what's known about how it's progressing?
Well, for a long time, what we've heard about this incursion was also coming from the Russian side. There was operational silence here on the Ukrainian side, and obviously it is still very much an ongoing operation. So information is very scarce, but we've had those declarations throughout the week from the commander-in-chief of the armies here in Ukraine, Oleksandr Syrsky, and that was corroborated by Volodymyr Zelensky in his daily addresses, that over 1,100 square kilometers of Russian land was now under Ukrainian control. The Ukrainian side is talking about 82 settlements in Russia, which are under Ukrainian control. There's talks also about opening a Ukrainian military administration in the border city of Sudzha in Kursk region. So those are the informations that we have from the Ukrainian side. Now, there's a lot of videos circulating on social media. Of course, it's difficult to verify the authenticity of everything, but it shows a lot of prisoners of war, Russian prisoners of war being captured by the Ukrainian forces. And Ukraine has, I would say, at heart to show that it's treating Russian prisoners of war fairly, contrary to what the Russian troops are doing in Ukraine, where we have documented cases of tortures, of murders of prisoners of war, and we know that thousands of Ukrainian prisoners of war are in Russian jail being tortured, being killed. So this is, the main difference in the two armies is how they treat their prisoners of war and also how they communicate on their operations.
The Russian President Vladimir Putin has promised what he called a worthy response to the incursion. Is it any clearer what that response will be?
Well, I've been asked this question throughout this week because Vladimir Putin has threatened Ukraine with retaliation, and it's a bit difficult to answer because, you know, living here in Ukraine, like, we've been feeling retaliation for 2.5 years across the country and for 10 years for people living in the eastern part of the country. So Ukrainians are also, I was talking about it with Ukrainians, and they were telling me, well, we don't really fear any retaliation because we've already been living in a state of war for all those years. We've seen a few days ago there was that fire on the territory of a cooling reactor in the nuclear power plant of Zaporizhia. Some here in Ukraine saw it as a Russian provocation, as a way to try and instill fear within the Ukrainian population. But there's not much that could scare Ukrainians even more than they already are. They've already been bombed daily and invaded by the neighboring country, and they've seen what Russian troops are capable of. So no matter what the Russian president would say now, it's not something that will scare Ukrainians into not leading any, or at least attempting any offensive on the aggressor country.
Some interesting comments from a Ukrainian presidential advisor today, who said that the incursion into Kursk was aimed at getting Moscow to start fair talks.
Absolutely. There were two main strategies that we could see for this surprise offensive within Russian territory. The first one would be to force Russia to withdraw some of its troops located in the Eastern Front in Ukraine as a response to the Kursk offensive. And the second bet, I would say, from the Ukrainian army would be that by gaining control and by retaining control over Russian territory, then it will have a bargaining chip to offer to bring at the table for eventual negotiations. So far, Kyiv has not offered any negotiations, and we also know that the Kremlin doesn't want to negotiate because one of the conditions for Kyiv to start any negotiation with Russia would be the respect and the return of its territorial integrity, a territorial integrity which has been violated against international law for over 10 years now. So any negotiations would have to entail the return of the illegally occupied territories of Crimea, of Luhansk, Donetsk, and also all the territories that are currently under illegal Russian control. And that's not something Moscow has shown any readiness to do so far.
Emmanuel Shays in